Today on the show, I genuinely thought I was going to die in a tow truck on the weekend, and it was crazy. There's a Harry Potter star, in inverted commas, who despises Harry Potter. Plus, Warner Brothers seems to hate its own characters and the AFL. All that and more on 20th Century Boy, and you can put your 3D glasses on now. Welcome to 20th Century Boy. My name is Tow Truck Mike, and this is the inside of my mind. Oh, it's been a busy week. There's been a few instances in the last few weeks where I've used I Nearly Died in the title as sort of a clickbaity way to get people interested in listening to the podcast, but I nearly died in a tow truck. That story is coming up. But first of all, welcome to the show. This is 20th Century Boy, a podcast about me, Radio Mike, young, not young producer and writer and person and podcaster from Australia, just making his way through this hellhole we call life. And welcome to the show. It's the conversations you wish you were having about the stuff that no one else cares about. That's what we do here on TCB. Hey, one thing is this podcast feed, 20th Century Boy, will probably rebrand soon. I don't know when, but it'll rebrand to just Radio Mike Productions. And 20th Century Boy will still be every Thursday and the main offering of this feed. But we're very close to making the Patreon show, which has been running for like 4 years, Pat and Mike, a public Friday episode on this feed, right? So Thursdays you get TCB, Fridays you get Pat and Mike, and then other content, Movie Club once a month, world tour episodes when I'm traveling. So just keep that in mind. The artwork might shift and like change. And then the Instagram page for the podcast, which is where I dump like all the clips and everything from Pat and Mike and this, will also change probably from TCB Pod to Radio Mike Productions. So keep that in mind. I hope that's cool with everyone. Basically, it's just a more broad, this feed I want to be more broad, like a more broad feed for all of my stuff. And, you know, TCB will still come out, Pat and Mike will be out and other stuff as well. So please send in any feedback and stuff. But basically, it's just to to get more people in, get more people interested, and et cetera. Okay, here's the 313 about what happened on the weekend. So, you know, we have plans. Claire and I have plans to get dinner with some of our friends on Friday night. And, like, my poor partner Claire, who is recovering at this point in time, she was recovering from COVID. She had a week off work because of COVID. And then We end up like, yeah, we make these dinner plans. Oh, this will be the first time we're going out. She's at work that day. It's a Friday night. She's driving home from work to get ready for dinner. Her car breaks down. Admittedly, I know nothing about cars. I am definitely not the boyfriend who's like, hey, I'll fucking fix your car for you. That's not me, right? But the problem is she's like in the middle of some suburb called Maidstone with a broken down car. I've never heard of this suburb. And she basically calls me and essentially goes, hey, car's broken down. Phone is on 4%. I don't know what I'm going to do. Can you just come to this address with your phone to help me? And I go, yeah, of course. So I jump in an Uber. I go to this random address in Maidstone. And sure enough, Claire's car is like broken down in front of some random house in a no standing zone, and the bonnet's open, and I'm like, oh my God, we have to cancel our dinner. All good. Everyone understands. And then basically this is just the most crazy evening that happened. So we're sitting there, like we're already like really stressed, and Claire's like, oh, I'm just going to call like I'm not going to say the business name, but like the insurance company. I have an insurance policy, but it doesn't include roadside assist to get the car towed, because there was no way that the car was going to start, right? So she's like, yeah, she calls the insurance company to add roadside assist, and they charge us a fee. And, you know, it's getting late, right? And we essentially called this number, and this guy picks up. I don't know his name, but it was fun. It was a funny, he was just like, really bad at customer service. And he was just, but he was just like such a charming young guy. He must have been like 20. And he's like, basically like, oh, like, yeah, so I've added the roadside assist to your policy, but it hasn't come up on the system. And he'd be like, oh. And we're just like sitting there with the phone on speakerphone. He's like, oh no, like it's not on the system. I can't find it anywhere on the system. And we were like, oh. He's like, yeah, just hang on a sec. I'm just going to refresh. No, it's not on the system. I can't find it on the system. And me and Claire are like losing our shit, silently laughing, listening to this guy try to troubleshoot his own problem. Like, cause, and I was like, I wanted to say like, hey, but like, well, we've paid for it. So can you just send the truck? But then he just goes, yeah, so, that's all right. I guess, yeah, it's not in the system. So I've got to wait for it to appear on the system. So I'll call you back in like an hour. And Claire was like, oh, okay. And I wanted to be like, no, don't say, oh, okay. You've got to like, you've got to be assertive and be like, no, like we need this solved now. Like, cause in those situations, what I've realized about being alive is like, no one cares about your problem, right? You do have to be assertive and just be like, hey, we need this resolved now. Like we're sitting in the middle of nowhere in the heat. We need the car towed. Talk to someone and get it on the system. Do what you can do. Like, and that's that person's job. Like that person works in customer service. Their job is to like solve the problem for us. That's what they're getting paid for. So him going, oh, just, you know, I'll have to wait and, you know, get you... wait an hour and I'll call you back. I'll keep checking if it's on the system and I'll call you back. So anyway, we hang up and I'm like, oh, we shouldn't have done that. We wait like half an hour, haven't got a call back. In the meantime, I order a pizza and I say, and I put the address of the house or outside and I'm like, we are not in the house. We're in a broken down car outside the house. So please deliver to that car. Anyway, so then no call back. So then I just go, I'm just calling him. Fuck it. Like, I'm going to call him back and speak to someone else. So I call the number and I go, hey, look, we were just talking to someone. He said he'd call us back, but look, we've paid the money. Like, we need this to be resolved now. Can you please sort it out for us? And this girl who was way better picked up and she's like, yeah, I can see it. It isn't on the system, but I can get it on the system. I'll just fix it up now. So like, definitely was in the capability of the other guy to do exactly what this other person was doing. But anyway, so she fixed it. She's like, yep, I'm going to send the tow truck out right now. Like it's coming now. Unfortunately, like it'll be like a 90 minute wait. They've got your details. They'll call you when you're here. I was like, okay, cool. So at least they sorted us, even though we've wasted another half an hour because that guy was supposed to call us back and didn't. Right. Now at least we have a tow truck organized and coming. And then basically, then another half hour later, Claire's phone rings. It's the original guy. It's the original guy on the phone who said he'd called us back. And to his word, he has called us back. And he goes, oh, g'day, guys. It's me. I remember I said I'd call you back. Well, it's all in the system now. So now we can get it all sorted out for you. And then me and Claire start laughing, which was good to have like a little bit of humor in a terrible situation, like a frustrating, powerless situation. We were just cracking up. So then Claire just goes, oh, like we actually rang back and spoke to someone else and like they've sorted it out for us. And then like, I don't know what I expected him to say, but then he just goes like, almost like he was in the car with us experiencing the same thing. Like he was on our team, right? He's just like, oh, actually. And we were like, yeah, it's all sorted. He's like, oh my God, that's awesome. Like, it was really funny because it was like, he was like, oh my God, what? Like, he couldn't believe that someone else doing his job could have figured it out for us. Like, it's like, it never occurred to him that he could ask someone else on his team to help clear it up, like, to help fix it for him. So he was like, oh my God, that's awesome. And we were like, yeah, it's good. And then he's like, oh yeah, I'm looking at it now. It was like 10 minutes ago that happened. We were like, yeah, we called them like 10 minutes ago and they did it. It's like, oh my God, that's so good. And we were like, yeah, no, it's good. Like him not seeing the irony that he could have done exactly this for us. It's like, that's awesome. Oh, guys, that's so good. Oh, thank God. And we were like, yeah. And he's like, all right, you guys have a great day. Thank, like, good work. And we were like, okay. And it was just like the, it was the weirdest interaction of all time with this guy. And we were just losing our shit in the car. Like, we just, the way he was like, oh, what? Awesome. That's awesome. What? Someone solved the problem. You guys were proactive and the problem was solved. That's awesome. Like, I just wanted to be like, mate, you should have just asked literally anyone. There must be other people around you, and be like, hey, why is this not on the system? How do we get it on the system? Anyway, that's where the fun and games are over. Because we wait, the tow truck arrives, right? And I go, and the thing is that freaked me out. It's like, we've been waiting all this time. Tow truck arrives, pizza hasn't arrived. I'm like, oh, now we got to get the car towed, but the pizza's going to come and, like, we will have gone. Thankfully, in what can only just be described as miraculous timing, the pizza guy arrives just as the car is being towed. So we're standing there eating just cheese pizza, like a margarita pizza, essentially. And then this tow truck driver comes. He's like a, you know, quiet speaking dude, gets the car up onto the tow truck. And I'm like, you know what? Everything's going to be all right. I offer him a slice of pizza. Hey, man, have a pizza. No, no, it's all good. I don't want a pizza. Okay, no worries. Feel free to have one. And then Claire says, should we get an Uber to, because we were getting the car towed just to Claire's house. Should we get an Uber or can we, well, I think she just said, can we get an Uber? To which the guy says, no, just come in the truck with me. So we're like, okay, no worries. We get in the truck. Obviously, it's like one of those tow trucks with like three seats at the front. He's in driver's seat. I'm in middle seat. Claire's on passenger seat. As soon as I get in, he starts driving once we're all seated, and I grab the seatbelt for the middle seat, and it's broken. Like, it cannot extend. And I'm like tugging at it. I'm like, is it stuck? Claire's like looking under. It's just not budging. So he's already driving and I'm like, oh, okay. And at first in my mind, I guess I'm like, oh yeah, like whatever. I guess I just won't wear a seatbelt. But then like my anxiety and like paranoia just sets in, mainly because we're in this big tow truck and like respectfully, the guy driving the truck was driving relatively erratically. Like I would not say it was like the safest of driving, especially in a big truck. That being said, I am not used to being a passenger in a truck. Maybe that kind of bounciness and rattling around in the seat is normal in a truck. I don't know, but I did feel unconstrained and instantly my brain just went sort of 5 minutes in, like, okay, hang on a second, because if this truck does crash, if this guy has an accident, I will just die. Like, it is certain death. There is no chance I will survive. I will just fly through the front of the car, fly onto the road, and just be run over and die. So my life is now entrusted in this erratically driving driver who I have no, like, for all I know, he could, like, be not even sober. Like, I don't know. Why is he driving so erratically? To put it into perspective, at one point, his driving was so erratic that he had his phone in like one of those phone holders on that attaches to like the windshield, like with suction, right? He had his phone in one of those and he was driving so erratic that the phone actually came out of the holder and fell. And then he was like grabbing around trying to get it to put it back up, right? That's how like bad the driving was. And I was just looking at Claire and like held her hand and I drafted a message on my phone and I was like, I kind of want to get out of this truck because I think I'm going to die. And then Claire was like, say something. But for whatever reason, I just didn't have the courage to be like, hey, mate, can you, like, because we're on like the highway anyway. I'm like, hey, mate, can you pull over? I want to get out of this truck. And it is so funny, I guess, about human anxiety and psychology that like, I genuinely felt that my life was in danger. And I was genuinely like, oh, there's no reason that I couldn't die tonight. Like, you know, I could die at any time and this feels like the time that I might die. This genuinely does feel like tomorrow on the news, they're like, truck crash on the freeway, one man, 29, dead. And I was like, oh, that's, that could be me. Like, you hear shit like that all the time. So I was just, like, holding Claire's hand, and then Claire started crying, and I was like, oh my God, I might die. I might die. And the whole time, my brain is just going, I might die. And I'm looking at, like, the Google Maps on this guy's phone, and it's like, 35 minutes left, 30 minutes left. And I'm like, wow, this could be my last 30 minutes of being alive. What am I going to do? And I'm like, imagine if the last 30 minutes of my life, I'm just too scared to say or do anything. Like, I genuinely thought I was going to die, but I was just too scared to be like, hey, I don't want to be in this truck. Let me out. It was like, I was like, I don't know. Like, I went on that hypercoaster in Queensland a few weeks ago, and I felt way safer going like on an upside down corkscrew in the roller coaster than I did in this truck. Anyway, I'm looking, you know, and it's like, okay, 7 minutes, 5 minutes. I'm like, oh my God, I might not die. I might actually be okay. There is a chance that I survive this and live to tell the tale. Anyway, finally, like, we make it. And spoilers, I don't die. I make it out alive, which is good. But then basically, and I've got to start enticing people to sign up to the Patreon, okay? If you're loving this story, here's your enticement. I'm going to do a little Patreon bonus where only for Patreons, where I actually tell you the aftermath of what happened, because it doesn't stop there. Basically, the tow truck driver lets the car down, and then something else happens after that that leads us to have to complain to the insurance company. Well, we were already going to complain about like everything else that had happened, like the guy who was no help, who was just like, oh, awesome. Something else happened, and then you're never going to believe what happened, because the tow truck driver, after we complained, actually got in touch with Claire, and you will never believe what he said. That is a Patreon exclusive, right? It's just going to be a little 5 to 10 minute Patreon exclusive. So patreon.com/radiomike. I'll put it up on the dollar tier. If you give a dollar, you'll get that little Patreon exclusive. Please sign up. The Patreon is so much content available already, plus the end of this story, which is great. Thankfully, I am alive, but it was a hectic evening. And yeah. Anyway, I have a few things that I want to talk about this week, a few things that have happened like in Australia and around the world. First thing that I want to talk about is, if you're in Australia, you may have noticed, you may not, that there is a new team being introduced to the AFL. Hey, sometimes on this podcast, we love to talk about footy, especially when it is linked to something in the world of pop culture, which this is, okay? I talked about this on the pod last year, but officially unveiled earlier this week was the Tasmanian Football Club. Tasmania will now have a football club, which I think is awesome. And they are officially called the Tasmania Devils. Just the Tasmania Devils, not the Tasmanian Devils, the Tasmania Devils. Their colors are like essentially green, a shade of yellow, and I think a shade of red. Really cool. I think it's cool. And I think they have 100,000 members, like, you know, who have already signed up. They don't start playing until 2028. And the AFL has had a few teams join, like, in my lifetime. And for whatever reason, this is such classic me, and I think it's an insight to how my brain works, is like, I have a really good knack at remembering like lists of things. It's why like I can just list off, roster off every Pokemon from the first generation of Pokemon. I can name them all off the top of my head. I think my record is 3 minutes and 9 seconds, right? I'm really good at just knowing shit like that, which is why like I know all the AFL teams. I've never been super into footy, but I know when they joined the AFL. I know when they, like, you know, how recent they are. Generally, I know how many, like, premierships they've won. I'm just really good at, you know, whether it's, like, some spectrum-y thing with me where, like, I just am good at assigning things in my brain to think that match. And the other thing is, like, I love, like, team names, like Melbourne Demons, Sydney Swans, West Coast Eagles, Western Bulldogs. Like, I love the mascot or, like, the naming, sort of the moniker for the teams. North Melbourne Kangaroos, Essendon Bombers, Collingwood Magpies. Like, I love that, and it helps me, like, remember all the teams and their colours and everything, right? So, Tasmania, of course, I think the most recent team before this was Greater Western Sydney. They're the Giants. And before that, in like 2012, maybe, was the Gold Coast Suns. And I think before that, in the 90s, I think Port Adelaide and Fremantle also joined. I could be wrong about that. But the Tasmanian team, really interesting. Tasmania Devils, of course, it was always going to be something along those lines. But there is a lot of interesting drama around this, which leads me into talking about some other stuff to do with Warner Brothers. Because the main reason that it's not the Tasmanian Devils is, of course, because Warner Brothers owns the Looney Tunes character Tasmanian Devil. Taz the Tasmanian Devil, who you will all most likely recognize. He is that little brown Looney Tune. He's in Space Jam. He's in Space Jam 2, right? And funnily enough, first little thing that I found interesting is this guy, Jim Cummings, who is the voice actor of Tasmanian Devil. Again, Tasmanian Devil is one of those characters that's sort of like another character I've spoken about on this podcast in the past, Donnie from the Wild Thornberrys. If you remember that cartoon, Donnie's whole thing is that he's voiced by Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. This is crazy. And he's the only thing he ever says is, that's his whole line, right? I've raved about it on the podcast before, so go listen to the back catalogue of this podcast. Tasmanian Devil is a similar kind of character. Now, Jim Cummings, voice actor for that character, did a little post on Twitter about the new AFL team. Funnily enough, Jim Cummings is also the voice of Winnie the Pooh and Tigger as well. You know that Winnie the Pooh, like, oh, bother, oh, Piglet, what are we going to do with all the honey? I actually think I'd do a good Winnie the Pooh voice. But anyway, here's what Jim Cummings had to say.
Hey, everybody, Jim Cummings here. And I just want to give a shout out and a hello to all my buddies down in Tasmania. Congratulations on landing your very first AFL team. It's astonishing. Good for you. And guess what they're called? The Tasmanian Devils. Why do I like that? Good job. And oh, before you go, I do want to say one brief message.
Taz like. So that's the Tasmanian Devil voice. Like, imagine that's your job. Hey, we need a voice for this character. Oh, I can do it. Like, that's fucking up. But Jim Cummings is actually like a very good voice actor, by the way. But I think that's really cool. That I have a feeling it might be a cameo or something similar that he's been asked to do. But I still think it's quite cool. But here's the thing, genuinely, Warner Brothers has revealed that I genuinely can't believe this, and I think it's hilarious. So the boss of the Tasmanian AFL department, I guess, says, this is a headline. Tasmanian AFL boss says Warner Brothers didn't know the Tasmanian Devil is a real animal when the team battled the entertainment giant for the right to use the name. Can you believe that? Warner Brothers, like, has this character, Taz the Tasmanian Devil. Warner Brothers, global entertainment giant. Literally, I just went to Warner Brothers Movie World and went on their, like, roller coasters based around, you know, their characters. I feel like everybody in the world knows that Taz the Tasmanian Devil is based on the Tasmanian Devil, which is a real animal native to Tasmania. Like, but this now feels like when, you know, you show Americans like a map of the world and you're like, where's Australia? And they just don't know where to point. No offense, Americans. I know there's a few Americans who like this show, but like, if you are American and you listen to this show, did you know the Tasmanian Devil is a real animal? Because it's not like the other Looney Tunes are not based on real animals. You've literally got Bugs Bunny, Porky Pig, Daffy Duck, Donald's Disney. So we'll give him that. Daffy Duck. Who else is there? Lola Bunny. Marvin the Martian. Like, they're very clear with the naming conventions of the Looney Tunes. They are very clear with what they are supposed to be, right? And then you've got Taz the Tasmanian Devil. You've literally got Roadrunner, the Roadrunner, and Wile E. Coyote, the Coyote. So then they're like, no, we must have made up Tasmanian Devil. There's not actually a thing called Tasmanian Devil. And the fact that, like, it does sort of sound like the Tasmanian, this tiny state that's not even connected to mainland Australia, is fighting global entertainment giant Warner Brothers and going, hey, like, I think we're allowed to use Tasmanian Devils because it's a real animal. Like, I think we're allowed to do it. So it does sort of feel like the negotiation of from Tasmania and Warner Brothers is, okay, what if we just go Tasmania Devils, right? Because I guess that makes sense. It's not the Melburnian demons. It's the Melbourne demons. It's not, you know, like the I don't know, Brisbanian lions. It's just the Brisbane lions. So it's like the Tasmania Devils does make sense, right? And I just think it's so funny that you'd have to think that in a company the size of Warner Brothers, someone in that company who is like responsible for like branding would know that like the Tasmanian Devil is a real animal. Side note, I actually think like if Warner Brothers was trying to stop this from happening, I genuinely think that's stupid because let's be real. And I hate saying this because I love like legacy sort of characters and stuff. The Looney Tunes are not exactly super relevant anymore. Space Jam 2 came out. It was a commercial flop. They're not exactly like in the forefront of kids' minds, of adults' minds. They're not extremely, extremely relevant anymore. Okay. I feel like everyone knows the Looney Tunes, but no, they're not relevant and actively a part of pop culture aside from the fact that they're legacy characters, right? So I actually think having a football team that is always going to trigger that character in people's minds is fantastic for brand awareness. Like, I actually think if every time from the rest of my life, every time I see the Tasmania Devils are playing footy, I will think of Taz the Tasmanian Tiger, the Looney Tune. And I think that's a great win for Warner Brothers. There's no loss there for them. And I seriously doubt there will be any brand confusion. In fact, I think Warner Brothers should pay them to make Taz the mascot. That's what I genuinely think. But the thing is, and this is what I'm realizing about Warner Brothers, is they just hate their own characters because there's this other drama unfolding at the moment with Warner Brothers where there was this movie called Coyote versus Acme. It was about Wile E. Coyote and like it was supposed to be like this hybrid animated live action film, sort of like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where Wile E. Coyote, I think I say Coyote wrong. I think, I don't know, maybe I don't. Wile E. Coyote is supposed to sue Acme, the fictional company that he buys all these weapons that can never kill the Roadrunner, right? And as part of a tax write-off, Warner Brothers have decided we're never releasing this movie and we're just going to basically scrap the movie, delete it from existence. It's a finished movie. We're just going to delete it and use it as a tax write-off. And people are furious about it, but Warner Brothers just doesn't care because they don't think it will make them money. So basically, it's going to become like a lost media film that never exists. When people are like, this actually sounds like a really cool movie that really celebrates that character and that world. But yeah, it's just never going to come out because Warner Brothers doesn't care. Like, it's the classic corporate thing of like, nobody cares. Nobody in business cares unless it's going to make a lot of money. And this movie probably won't make money in cinemas. They've tried to shop it around to streaming. A bunch of streamers were like, yeah, we'll take this movie. We'd love to take this movie, but they didn't offer enough money for it to be worth it. So now the movie probably just won't exist. And the script leaked online and people like think it's really charming and like the script. So yeah, it's disappointing. Warner Brothers, bit of a shambles at the moment, but yeah. Two more things. One more in the world of movies, but it's about Madam Web, which I talked about on the podcast recently. A movie that I still have not seen, but know sucks. And I was speaking to a few friends about this movie because, like, it is really clear that lead actress Dakota Johnson, and I talked about this in a previous episode, does not give a shit about this movie, does not care about it, and knows that it sucks. But also, what we've realized is that, like, she genuinely thought she was entering the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, she thought she was now in the same world as, like, Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, Brie Larson, all of those big actors, Benedict Cumberbatch, Tom Holland. She didn't realize that, as I explained on the last ep where I talked about it, where that she was in the Sony Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is deliberately trying to confuse people about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Noticed the other day, because I use this thing called Plex, and I have it set so, like, I put a movie in, and when it's available to on digital or streaming, Plex just finds it and automatically adds it to my Plex library. It's Jack Sparrowing, which is our code word on this show for illegally obtaining movies. But anyway, I don't care because streaming sucks. Notice the other day, Madam Web popped up on my Plex. It, like, came out like a month ago. So Madam Web is now available on streaming, literally a month after it came out in cinemas. I don't think there is any more blatant way of being like, we know this movie sucks, we know that this movie is shit, than a studio being like, we have to put it on streaming now because no one's going to see it in the cinemas. That's basically giving up. Putting it on streaming after a month is giving up and knowing we're not going to make any more money off this movie. Let's just put it on streaming. And I find it so funny, like, that this movie was just that bad, because I can't really remember any other instance where a movie has come to streaming that quick. At least not in a post-COVID world. Like, I know during COVID there were a lot of movies that either were in the works for a while, ended up skipping a theatrical release because it just wasn't worth putting it out during COVID and going straight to streaming. Like, a lot of the Pixar movies during COVID, I think Luca and Onward and maybe Soul, they went straight to streaming when they were supposed to be big theatrical releases. But because of COVID, there just was no point putting them out in cinemas, but there was also no point holding on to them as movies. So they just put them out. But Madam Web going to streaming so quick is just one of the most hilarious things ever, because I think everyone involved in this film knows that it sucks. And I think that's like, I think it's hilarious. I know to the people involved it's not hilarious, but to me it is very funny. Okay, one more stupid thing I want to do before the end of the episode. I floated this idea with Pat, producer Pat, and he told me, he actually said to me, that sucks, never do that. But I have decided, actually almost in spite of Pat, that I'm going to do it on this week's episode. So, if this, I'm going to do a poll on the Spotify. Did this suck or was it actually funny? Because I actually think it's hilarious. Clearly, Pat didn't think it's hilarious. Oh, I just realized I have one more other thing to talk about after this. So I'll do this, then I'll talk about the other thing. It's also kind of dated, because when Sabrina Carpenter was out on Taylor Swift's tour and following Taylor Swift around the world, by the way, Sabrina Carpenter, she's awesome. Think she's great. Good on her for doing all the stuff she does. She does this, she has this song called Nonsense, and she was going viral on TikTok because I think at every show she does a different outro for Nonsense that references the city she is currently in. So for example, and they're often, I'll give her this, they're very clever, but they are also often quite raunchy, very sexual in nature, and very, like, yeah, very sexually driven. Like, she's very, and I think it's great that a woman is very sexually free, sexually open. That's fantastic. But Sabrina goes on, and this is one from one of her Melbourne nights. I think you can hear it okay, but here's one of her Melbourne outros. D-I-C-K-I-N, good at spelling. It's so good, I need a second helping. Aren't you glad I know how to say Melbourne? So that's quite sexual in nature. D-I-C-K, I am good at spelling. Tastes so good, I need a second helping. Aren't you glad I know how to say Melbourne? Because like a lot of Americans say Melbourne, but everyone says Melbourne, right, in Australia. And like there was one in Sydney where she was like, he was so big, I felt it in my kidney, blah, 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 Sydney. Doesn't it? She's done it in Singapore. She did it in Japan, like Tokyo, like all of these different cities. Great. Awesome. Really creative, really fun, really great way to connect with the audience at your shows. Then I got thinking, there are some cities in the world that obviously, for obvious reasons, Taylor Swift and Sabrina Carpenter will never go because, you know, dangerous cities, war-torn cities, or just cities where she doesn't have fans, which is unlikely. But there are cities or countries in the world that they will never tour to. So they will miss out on their own nonsense intros, right? So what I've decided to do, maybe I only do a few this week and I'll do a couple more next week, is Sabrina Carpenter nonsense intros for cities or countries she will never travel to. And while you're listening, you should try and figure out before it ends which country it's going to be. So here's the first one I came up with. He went so hard he gave me diarrhea. Hope he doesn't notice that tortilla. Guess that's what it's like in North Korea. It's like she's never going to go to North Korea. There will never be Taylor Swift plays in Korea, right? In North Korea. It'll just never happen. Next one, try to figure out which country it is. He's so good, I told him he's the man. I told him I'll do anything I can. Guess that's how they are in South Sudan. She'll never play a show in South Sudan. All right, try to guess this one. He asked me to meeting at a club. I said I am not much of a partier, but that's just what it's like here in Somalia. She'll never go to Somalia. There will never be a Sabrina Carpenter in Somalia, so I want to make these people's dreams come true. Okay, one last thing for this week's episode. Debated whether I'd talk about this, but I'm going to talk about this because I have like a lot of views on this person. But Miriam Margolyes, who you will almost certainly only know as the actress who played Professor Sprout in Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. She is the herbology professor, pretty much only really big speaking lead role was in the mandrake scene where they're pulling up the mandrakes out of the dirt and they're screaming, right? Professor Sprout, great character. I think she returns in the final Harry Potter movie as like a backing, as just like, you know, they brought a lot of the actors back just to be there. She returns in that. But all in all, I'm pretty sure her total on-screen time, that's on-screen, not even speaking lines, her total on-screen time in the entire Harry Potter franchise is about 2.5 minutes for Professor Sprout. Miriam Margolyes regularly like insults people who like Harry Potter, insults them, tells them like they're stupid for liking something for kids and whatnot, and like regularly like, does it. These are two, she's currently in Australia. These are two excerpts. I've got to say, I've cut together two little bits from two separate interviews, but I just want to play it like I've played it as if it's one thing. These are from two separate interviews for full transparency, but here's some of what she's saying.
I worry about Harry Potter fans because they should be over that by now. You know, I mean, it was 25 years ago and it's for children. They get stuck in it.
I'm not unhappy about it. I just think that it's for children. And if your balls have dropped, then it's time to forget about it. You know, go on to other things.
Yeah. So, interesting. Interesting take. But, I like, she's so wrong. And what I want to lead with on this discussion is that what she has just said is, like, the antithesis of what I believe and the antithesis of, like, what this podcast even stands for, right? Because, obviously, like, I am a Harry Potter fan. I have a podcast called Harry Potter and the Boys. Like, I actively, like, I don't make money off Harry Potter. Like, we have some Patreons and thank you. But, like, I have a product that is Harry Potter based. I like Harry Potter. I don't care. I don't give a fuck. This is beside the point, but I do not care about anyone who's like, if you like Harry Potter, you are XYZ, right? Those people are stupid. I genuinely think those people are deluded and try to detract from like real actual issues in the world than someone playing Hogwarts Legacy on their PlayStation or someone like watching the Harry Potter movies with their children, right? It's ludicrous. The thing about this is, one, Miriam Margolyes, I hazard a guess, and I genuinely believe that any human being currently alive under 40 years old that knows who you are only knows who you are because you were in the Mandrake scene in Harry Potter. I do not believe that there is any human under the age of 40 that knows you from anything else. I could not name another thing that she was in. The only reason I know who the fuck you are is because you're in Harry Potter, right? And shaming people for liking something, for being into something, for being passionate about something, whatever it might be, right? And I've had this, like, I've told the story about, like, how I loved Blink-182 at high school, and someone said to me, who the fuck listens to Blink-182? And then it made me feel ashamed of the fact that I liked that for so long, right? Being someone who does that, who's like, oh, it's for kids, like, fuck you, it's actually, like, the most idiotic thing ever that, like, also, you know, I see a lot of, like, really left-leaning political people saying, like, oh, she's so right, those losers who like Harry Potter, haha, not realizing that, like, her saying stuff like that actually perpetuates a lot of, like, the toxicity and, like, I don't know, like, kind of like toxic masculinity and all this shit that people go on about. That's perpetuating that because it's making people feel like they can't be themselves and making people feel like there is like a hierarchy of stuff that you're allowed to like and stuff that you're allowed to be into. And if you're down here liking stuff that was like targeted towards kids or liking something that you enjoyed when you were a kid, then you are like an idiot. Or like even saying like if your balls have dropped, get over it is like such a weird, like creepy thing to say as well. But I think she is actively contributing to that culture that like I think people on the left side of politics, on like the hard left of politics, hate that kind of culture. They don't realize that is actively perpetuating that. It's actively saying, if you like this, you are bad, which makes people feel ashamed, which makes people feel, you know, weird. It's awful, right? Really don't like her, really hate her. And also the fact that like, you don't see anyone else who was in the movies really doing that kind of thing. It's just her. I think it's because she wasn't there for the whole film series. She was literally in one scene. She had one starring scene in the movies, right? She's not like someone like Alan Rickman or Maggie Smith or even like Michael Gambon, who was Dumbledore from movies 3 to 8, or like, I'm just trying to think of other adults. Like put this next to Robbie Coltrane, who played Hagrid in every film, right? And he was in the Harry Potter reunion special that came out a few years ago, and what he had to say was so different. I haven't prepared the audio, but I'll dig it up and I'll put it here for you.
The legacy of the movies is that my children's generation will show them to their children, so you could be watching it in 50 years time. Easy. I'll not be here, sadly, but Hagrid will.
So that is two different perspectives there, right? And it makes me respect him so much more than I will ever respect Miriam. Because to me, she's just making herself look like an elitist idiot. And anyone who does this stuff like, oh, why would you like this? Why would you like that? That's so stupid. That's forget. Like, those people need to fuck off out of other people's lives. Because, like, trying to really control what is cool and what is okay to like, I hate that shit. I fucking hate it. It's elitism. It's superiority complex. It's all this shit. She thinks she's so good. She wasn't there for all the movies. She clearly doesn't understand, like, the legacy of them. And, like, I hate her. Ending this rant with this quote from C.S. Lewis. I've always loved this quote. I don't like C.S. Lewis as a writer. I think, you know, he obviously wrote Chronicles of Narnia, which is cool. I think he's really preachy. He has a very religious, he's the Narnia series is very allegorical to Jesus Christ and has strong Christian values. I'm not against Christian values, but I don't think it's necessarily good to like preach Christianity. Anyway, I don't even have to get into that. I'm not a big fan of C.S. Lewis, right? I don't think Narnia is great. But he does have this quote, which I have always really liked, and I'm going to read it for you. When I was 10, I read fairy tales in secret and would have been ashamed if I had been found doing so. Now that I am 50, I read them openly. When I became a man, I put away childish things, including the fear of childishness and the desire to be very grown up. I've always loved that quote a lot. Right. There was another one I found as well, which is critics who treat adult as a term of approval instead of merely descriptive term cannot be adults themselves. To be concerned about being grown up, to admire the grown up because it is grown up, to blush at the suspicion of being childish, these things are the marks of childhood and adolescence. Right. Ponder those in your own time and think about them. But those quotes to me are really valuable to what this woman is saying, because I think she's just an idiot. Anyway, let's end with this. The plug. I have a few YouTube videos going up. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel. I will be doing them this week. One is going to be, I was going to talk about it on the pod, but it deserves its own video and I might put it on the podcast feed. The documentary series Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV, exposing the Nickelodeon controversies and rumors you may have heard of over the years about Dan Schneider. Briefly talked about it on this podcast in the past. I will be doing a video review of that, or like more just thoughts and discussion around it. So please go and watch that. It should be up like Friday, maybe Sunday. I will also be doing a video and a review of the new and the final album from Canadian pop punk band Sum 41. I've talked a lot about Sum 41 over the years and why they mean a lot to me. Their final album has just come out. They are disbanding after a world tour, and this is the last album they will ever put out. I'm going to do a whole video discussion about that, so I hope you'll give that a watch if you're into that kind of thing, even if you're not. Over on the TikTok, I finished up my series, What If AFL Teams Had Pokemon for Mascots? It went really well, so now I'm actually doing What If NRL Teams Had Pokemon for Mascots, which is also performing really well, and I'm stoked about too. So please go and watch some content on TikTok. Harry Potter and the Boys is back every Tuesday, and it's firing on all cylinders. I want to plug here as well, Sam Garlep, co-host of Harry Potter and the Boys, is doing a comedy festival show. It's called Big Ick Energy. Go and get tickets. Use code Harry at the checkout. He's set up a discount code for basically people who listen to my stuff. I'll be there a few of the nights, so I would love to see you guys there. And it's going to be an awesome show. I've been helping write some of the stuff as well, which is really big for me to like contribute to a comedy fest show. And it's going to be awesome. So please go see that. Listen to Harry Potter and the Boys. From there, what else? There's a few more things. Okay, just Instagram, you know, Twitter, follow me, reach out to the show. I'd love to hear from you. Do another All the Write-Ins soon. And Pat and Mike will be up tomorrow. And the Patreon, for the rest of that tow truck story, jump on the Patreon right now to hear some more on that. I'll also have another blog out this Friday, so please go and subscribe to my blog, link in the description to this podcast, and read my newest article. I hope you're enjoying those. My name's been Radio Mike. This has been The Inside of My Mind, and I will catch you next week. Love you long time and also short time. See you later.